The Inside Edge, your weekly deep dive into the world of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Presented by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers and the 2020 Kia Telluride. Give it everything.
Here's Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by Kia. The Blue Jackets are getting ready to play hockey. It's going to happen tomorrow. They have an exhibition game against the Boston Bruins, and then they will start against the Toronto Maple Leafs in their best-of-five play-in series on Sunday. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. And Jody, hockey actually started yesterday, where there were actual exhibition games that were played. It was really nice to turn on the TV at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and see the Penguins and the Flyers. And later on, the Leafs played against the Canadiens. Edmonton took on Calgary. It was a full day, and it was good to see guys back on the ice playing the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and all day today. It started at noon earlier today. So, you know what? My first take was, wow, it's actually here. I mean, it took so long, and it looked like it was the starting line was never going to get here as far as obstacles. But the way the league has set it up, the way the visual aspect of it, the they thought of every detail. It's just so awesome to see hockey back on and see the players competing. I mean, the Calgary-Edmonton game was physical. Philadelphia has a responsibility. When you're a Flyer, you have a responsibility to show hate for the Penguins. I thought they did that yesterday. It was a good opening game. And then Toronto. It was fun to watch Toronto. That's going to be the Blue Jackets' first opponent. We know that. It was good to see how they played the game. They're dangerous, but the Blue Jackets have a game plan, and it's getting closer. So here we go. And Bob, we finally get to get back and do work and call some games and be involved with some of these games and be as close as we can to interacting with these players.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be good to call games. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit nervous about the beginning and figuring out how to watch it and how to call it and all that stuff off of a monitor instead of doing it live. But I know that we'll all make those adjustments as it goes along. So that's why I'm ready for it to start, because I think it's like the players that went to the bubble. And by the way, we're going to have Zach Werenski joining us here in just a few minutes from the NHL bubble. I think just like them going there, they didn't know exactly what they were going to deal with. That's the way I feel with these games. I just want to see it. I want them to be on the ice. I want to be able to look at the screen and figure out what's what, just so I can get back to being relaxed, I guess.
Yeah, isn't that like everything, though? The waiting is that's where you build up your anxiety, and it's like, oh, what's it going to be like? And it just brings you back. It's good to have that in your life, Bob. You know what I mean? That unknown. So we've been dealing with it a lot the last 4 months, the unknown, what's going to happen. And there's been times, I'm sure you're just sitting in your chair like everyone else thinking, okay, am I missing out on something? No, I'm not. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but now you're called to your duty, so to speak, to go call a game. So I would say you're just excited, and it's going to be, I'm sure you'll be fine. You've been watching hockey for what, 60 years now? You're ready to go.
Yeah. 60 years. Yeah, you're right. You know, right before this team broke camp here in Columbus to go up there, you know, it looked like their mindset's good. I think their attitude's good. I think that was really obvious when they got off that bus and they were wearing the Let's Play Bubble Hockey t-shirts. You know, that part of their game seems right. But just like all of the 24 teams that are involved in this, that part of the game is only going to be a small piece of it. It's actually going to be the execution on the ice. So in those 2 weeks, you know, you couldn't tell much, but what could you tell about this team as they get set to go back to play?
Yeah, you know, a lot of players look sharp, sharper than I thought. I mean, even, you know, there's players that you're not sure where their head's at when you come to training camp in July during a pandemic. The excitement they had to see each other really stood out right away. The normalcy that they have that, you know, anyone's going to have when they get to go back to work and do something that they didn't know if they were going to be able to do for a long, long time. So that stood out to me, the energy there. There's ebbs and flows throughout any camp. But to me, a couple of players really stood out. Players that looked re-energized, rejuvenated, genuinely happy to be around each other and excited. I thought Riley Nash looked great. I think that Riley Nash came to the Blue Jackets and not sure where he was going to fit in, thinking he would be in the top two lines maybe, because he did play when Bergeron was out for the Bruins and played a big role as a centerman. got here, got moved around, took him a year to settle in. And now I think he's got tremendous value in this series. And I think he's going to be a really sharp player to watch. The other guy's Wennberg. For me, Wennberg's a guy who, with Texas, looks great. I think he looks really, really good. So leaving the camp here, I'm excited about a couple players. I wasn't, you know, I didn't really, I kind of had them slotted in certain areas. Am I overreading it? Maybe. But I'm excited that, you know, I noticed that and that moving forward. I'm also excited that Dubois and Atkinson, those two players are going to be massive as this team's move forward.
Yeah, let's talk about Cam Atkinson for a moment here because, you know, there's been a lot of press on him this week because he's been a secondary player in the postseason in his career here. And for a guy that scored 30 and has scored 40 in a season, is it time for Cam Atkinson to step forward and become a star in the playoffs? Can he do that on this team as it's set up?
It's imperative. I mean, it's crucial. This guy is such an important player for the tone of the team. And I mean, you know, there's sometimes where he needs to pass. He needs to be set up. He's waiting for someone to spring him. But there's also times when he goes and grabs it and makes the play happen from deep in his own end. You know, if you watch a goal that's scored, well, Cam Atkinson was the one that decided to go in and get the puck with attitude, use the skill, and make the play happen. That's the Cam Atkinson they need here. He's a guy that can hurt you if you leave him alone on the perimeter. But if he plays a perimeter game, I'm not sure who's going to get him the puck. It's going to be tight defensive checking. But now it's his time. And I think, you know, I think he's a guy that wants to be that guy. But, yeah, it's got to start with leadership at the hotel where they're at, leadership in the locker room, which he has. He's got to take that to another level. And I think in this situation, you're going to see him do that.
When you talk about if he's on the perimeter, who's going to get him the puck, that's a really good question based on the line that he's been playing on. Boone Jenner in the middle, Gus Nyquist on the other side. You know, we know – everything to Boone is hard-nosed and gritty and all of that, not necessarily a playmaking centerman. So I guess a lot of that falls on Nyquist to make sure that he can set up Cam with the puck. And again, these are lines that we saw last week and they've been practicing with so far this week. Doesn't mean that that's what's going to be on Sunday when they take on Toronto.
The thing I like about Boone is that he's an easy guy to follow. He's a play starting centerman. He's a guy that can push the opposition back on their heels or keep plays going the way the Blue Jackets want him to go. And that's valuable for a guy like Cam. The more time they can spend in the offensive zone creating off of a cycle or a forecheck, that's the value of Boone. And then Nyquist, too. He's starting to figure out that there's a simplicity to his game combined with his intelligence that's so valuable. So I like that line. I like it a lot. I think that can really do something special. But it's Boone Jenner is going to lead it with the tone and the mindset of that line. I think Nyquist will be an easy guy to follow. And I think Cam has to follow that mindset for that line to work.
And on paper, that's probably the second line right now. But you mentioned Wennberg and Texier earlier. They look really good in the last couple of days before they left here. Emil Bemstrom's on the other side on that line. He looks very good, too. And again, that's playing against your teammates. We'll find out more when they take on the Boston Bruins. I get all of that. But, you know, that could be – the talent on that line, that could easily – they could easily elevate their time on the ice during a game if they're doing their job, right?
Got to be an X factor. I mean, the head-to-head matchup, you know, Matthews, Tavares are two of their top centermen. You're going to probably see Jenner – Dubois. I mean, those are going to be the ones that are talked about. You know, you got Foligno on that top line with Dubois. There's some good pieces on all those top two lines, but the key line for either team is going to be the third line. And I call the Wennberg line the third line because of the age and where Wennberg has himself slotted. He's got his toes going north. He's got his attitude going north in those practices. Needs to continue. Did he get enough confidence? And is he having a good enough time being the kind of the director of that line? Because, listen, Texier does everything hard. I love watching this guy play. You watch him pass the puck from the goal line to the blue line in the defensive zone. There's no one in the league that passes it that hard. It is wicked. He does everything with authority. You notice him on the forecheck. He's a guy that's got confidence. I love the intelligence of him and Wemberg together. Bemstrom's a shooter, and, you know, Bemstrom wants to shoot the puck. Wemberg can get him the puck. So the third line has got to be a key factor in this series. It is, anytime you look at any champion, it's the depth. And if that's your depth, I'm pretty happy with that, what the Blue Jackets set up on their top nine.
You mentioned the offensive talent of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was on full display against Montreal. 33 seconds into the game, Ilya Mikheyev, who we saw early in the season in that opening game at Nationwide Arena, and then he got hurt in December, and he didn't play. He hasn't played since then. A young guy that they're very high on. You know, they looked comfortable in their exhibition game last night. Of course, they're playing at home, too, even though they were a visiting team. But that comfort level has to be destroyed by the Blue Jackets, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've got the comfort level. You don't have to go back too far in history to think about the Tampa series, Bob, and the confidence and the comfort that they had in the way they played the game. That's the only game plan of the Blue Jackets. It's not just to go out and try to stop the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's discourage, make them uncomfortable, disrupt, but also then take it to them. Because that's the cherry on top of frustration is – when you aren't able to wheel and deal and run and gun the way you want to as a skater out there and make the moves and make the high octane plays, and then the other team comes back and then they score with a punch to the nose and you're like, what? You know, not only am I frustrated, now we're down. So it's a great game plan. It's a frustrating game plan to play against. And you're right. Confidence is probably going to be high if you let them roll and give them all that space. Blue Jackets have got to be locked on and on the same page, all six guys on the ice every time.
Can you also take advantage of their youth? I mean, they're very talented, but they're very young too. And can you get them to be impatient, I guess, is going to be one of the questions for the Blue Jackets and the way that they play defensively.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely you can. And John Tortorella knows that. I got a lot of respect for their coach. You know, he's a young coach in Keefe that came in and played for John Tortorella. He knows Torts and what he demands of his players. But I think you're right. I think it's easy to get impatient. We saw the Blue Jackets go through that the first 3 years with Torts, where he spent a lot of time saying, got to be patient. Got to be patient in a game. We can't give up the game and 47 minutes in and get away from the game plan for 3 minutes because then the opposition's up. I think the Blue Jackets understand that. And I think maybe you're right. That could be something that the Toronto Maple Leafs want to get it done. They want to get that goal and get that over with. You know, it's a great analogy sometimes where, you know, you want to win the game in the first shift of the game, right? But that's not the way the game is played. You've got to take details throughout the entire game and stick with it. And I think that's what John Tortorella has really implemented here from day one.
And finally, I want to ask you about the I forgot what I wanted to ask you about.
Well, that happens all the time, but I'm going to let me ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
That'll make it way easier on me if you do that.
Well, yeah, because you've watched here, you know, the process with goaltending. And you know, Bobrovsky was the guy last year. And, you know, I look at the St. Louis Blues, and they come in with a rookie netminder and win. You saw the Penguins do it a couple of years ago with Murray. How do you see that shaking out as far as goaltending?
If it were me, I would start Korpisalo for the experience. And again, he was an NHL All-Star, even though he didn't get to play in the game. But it's got to be a short leash. I think whichever way you go, I think it's got to be a short leash. And the beauty is, to me, it can be a short leash because both guys competed and performed during the regular season. So I thought Korpisalo looked sharp in that last scrimmage that they played at home before they left. Elvis gave up like 11 during that one. Corpy gave up 5, but he seemed like he was in position. He was reading well. He was moving well. Maybe it was just an off day for Elvis. Who knows? But, you know, that's what I would do with it. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's a great point that you make because rookies have won it. It has happened. But the fact of the matter is whoever gets to go in, they better get hot because if they get hot, it's their job, and they're going to keep it for as long as they have it. If they're not hot, they're going to be gone in about, I don't know, one period, wouldn't you say?
And they got a great goaltending coach with experience. And now he's been here and understands the way everything is happening around them. So that dialogue is going to be crucial with the goaltenders, Manny Legacy and the head coach.
Yes, it is. And right in front of those goaltenders will be the defensemen. And one of them, Zach Werenski, is going to join us coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, don't miss your chance to be a part of all of the excitement when Blue Jackets hockey returns to Nationwide Arena. Ticket plans are now available. Guarantee future playoff tickets, flexible payment plans, and choose the games that you want. For more information, just text TICKET to 37664. This is the Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Tomorrow night, the Blue Jackets take on the Boston Bruins, a game I will call for you right here on The Fan, starting with pregame coverage at 6:30. Joining us to talk about that and much more right now is Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski. Zach, you're inside the NHL bubble. Has it been everything you ever imagined that it would be there?
Honestly, I wasn't really too sure what to expect coming into it. I know they kind of gave us an outline of things we could do and stuff that could happen, restaurants we could go to and whatnot, but until you're actually here, it's kind of hard to experience it and kind of know what you're getting into. But it's a really good setup. I mean, everything's kind of fenced off. You can go outside, you can go for walks. You can walk to restaurants. They have golf simulators. We have ping pong tables and stuff like that. So, been keeping busy for the most part, but it's definitely a little bit different knowing you can't really leave outside of this bubble.
I've talked to a couple of other guys, and they said, at least in just these first few days, it feels like a regular road trip. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we're going out to eat with the guys and going to dinner and lunch and whatnot. Still have practice during the day. It kind of feels like a regular road trip. I guess with the exception, like I said, that you're in the back of your mind, you kind of know you can't leave the bubble and there's only certain things you can do. But yeah, I mean, it's still early in the trip, so I'm sure the longer you're here, the more it's going to feel like a bubble and things like that. But it's kind of feels like a regular road trip right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the trips that we normally go on, there aren't many really long ones. So I guess you haven't figured out how long you can be with the same group of guys without getting sick of those same group of guys yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like we're doing everything together. There's all, 30 of us hanging out together every single night. So I'm sure in a couple of days, guys are going to want breaks and want some alone time and whatnot. But no, it's been good so far, and it's a good setup here.
Zach, I guess we're always in a bubble anyways when we're on the road. Like, I think of like when we go to Buffalo, you're just kind of at the hotel, at the rink, and then you move on to the next thing anyways, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess you have a little bit more freedom in terms of like going to different restaurants, going with groups of guys, places. If you know someone on the other team, you can go with them to eat. It's a little different, and you usually get in kind of, around dinner time, and then you sleep, and then you wake up, play your game, and leave. Where this kind of seems like everyone's just doing everything together, all 30 of us, which isn't a bad thing, but like I said, I think guys in a couple of days are going to want some alone time.
Is it more like a youth hockey trip that you don't know when it's going to end, or is it more like college?
It's kind of like a youth hockey trip or like a world junior or world championship or something like that, where every time you go to get on the elevator, you don't know who's going to be on the elevator when the doors open. You could be with someone else's coach or players on a different team. If it stops, we're on floor 10 here. If it stops at floor 8, I know someone from a different team is getting on the elevator. Just stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to kind of, see other guys walking around the lot or around the hotel. When you get to the arena, guys are getting dressed right next to each other. There's locker rooms, a couple feet away. So it feels like a youth hockey tournament. It feels like a world junior, which is pretty cool.
Now, what's your setup? Do you guys have your own locker room and then your own space in the building for meetings? Or how is that working when you go to practices?
Yeah, so when we go to practice, we have two locker rooms right next to each other. And then right across the rink from us is like the Islanders. I think there's four arenas in the practice facility. So when you walk in, Tampa will be practicing, or Washington, or Carolina's on the ice. So it's kind of cool. You get to kind of go watch other teams practice and stuff like that. But we're not really there for too long. We haven't done video there yet. We've been doing it at the hotel. We have our own private meeting room at the hotel. Each team does. And that's where we've been doing most of our video.
Yeah, as you just said, it's kind of neat. It's really different because you guys, you know, all the teams, all you players, you do the same things, but it's very seldom that you see each other, especially in that practice environment and outside of an NHL building, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of guys you feel like you know because just from playing against them, but you don't really know them at all. And just kind of being at the hotel, you know, you say hi to guys. You know, there's coffee shops and bakeries in the hotel. You'll be standing in line talking to a guy on a different team you've never met before. So it's pretty cool that way just to kind of get to know guys and kind of be around other, you know, guys in the league that, like I said, you feel like you know, but you don't know them at all just because you played against them for so many years and so many games. So it's definitely different, but I've enjoyed it so far. It's still early. We haven't even played our first game yet. So I know there's a long way to go.
Yeah, that's a good point because you do have a lot of downtime right now with only practices. But let's be honest, once this thing really starts, it is going to be fast and furious. You get the exhibition game tomorrow against the Boston Bruins. But then on Sunday, you start playing Toronto and, you know, it's a regular playoff grind, right? It's every other day. There's going to be plenty of film for you to watch and all of that stuff. You won't have a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. Once things get ramped up here, I think guys are just going to want to hang out in their rooms, get some rest. Because like you said, once it starts, it's a full sprint. You know, best of five series, especially to start things off, there's no real room for error. Guys are going to be playing their, you know, as hard as they can from the drop of the puck. There's no easing your way into it. So I'm sure guys will be tired. Guys are going to want rest in between games. You know, obviously, like I said, there's still things to do at the hotel, like ping pong and golf simulators, things that aren't too taxing on the body. So I'm sure guys will do that. But for the most part, guys are going to want some rest and just to kind of hang out and, you know, play video games or whatnot in between games.
What's going to be the biggest competition between teammates? Video games, golf simulator, ping pong, maybe cards, who knows?
I think so far it's probably the golf simulator. I don't play cards, so I don't know. I think those games can get kind of intense. But I've been at the golf simulator the last couple of days, and guys are playing against each other. You know, there's a lot of ping pong games going on. But then at nighttime, around like 8 o'clock at night, everyone gets on video games and there's 15, 16 of us playing video games. So that's also pretty fun.
That's where you have an edge, isn't it?
Yeah, but I will say Bemstrom, he's the king right now of video games.
Really?
Yeah, he's insane.
That, what is it? Hockey, soccer? I don't know.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yeah. How's the internet there? Is it slow? Are you guys having problems with that?
No, it's pretty good for the most part. It was a little bit slow yesterday, but I think that's probably just because there were so many teams probably on it at the same time last night.
Yeah.
They have like the NHL console Wi-Fi, so it's strictly for Xboxes and PS4s and stuff like that. So they did a good job. The Wi-Fi's been good here.
Well, good. Now, you seem like a guy that's pretty chill. So with this downtime, you all right with this? I mean, you're fine with playing video games and kind of just hanging in your room. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually kind of nice. We practice at 2:30 today, and we practice at 2:30 on Monday as well. And it's kind of nice because you wake up a little later. You know, you might hit the golf simulator for a little and then grab breakfast. And then by the time you get to practice and get home, it's dinner time. And then after that, you have 2 or 3 hours. I guess now hockey's on. Guys will probably watch that together. But, yeah, I have no problems just kind of hanging out and relaxing. It's usually what I do back home. So this isn't too much different for me.
So, you're to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're a full-time hockey guy. Like, what I mean by that, it's a compliment that, you know, you're always ready for the next practice or the next game. And even in the off-season, you're a full-time hockey person. So I think you're like a model.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't really thought of it that way because it's just how I've done everything. You know, I've done it this way my whole life. So for me, this just feels normal to, you know, kind of worry about just hockey and get ready for the next game, the next practice, the next workout, whatever it is. You know, I think here it's a little bit different because, like you said, there's guys that, you know, have different interests sometimes and not so much on our team, but obviously around the NHL, guys night before games, you know, might want to go get dinner somewhere farther away or whatnot, or go out for a drink or something. But you know, here in the bubble, there's nothing you can do. So guys aren't leaving. Guys are, you know, it seems like everyone's in bed early. And, you know, I don't think there's too much to worry about in terms of that here in the bubble. But for me personally, it's been the same way every time, every road trip I'm on, it feels normal for me.
scary, Bob. There's going to be a lot of guys with great preparation during this whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you watch the Toronto Maple Leafs play the Montreal Canadiens last night?
I watched for a little bit. I was at dinner with Bemstrom, actually, and the game wasn't on. So when I got home after, I flipped it on for the third period.
How much are you looking forward to watching games? Because I know that you guys, I think during the exhibition games, you're not able to go over and watch. But once the actual tournament starts, when you're not playing, there will be designated areas for your team, right? So you get a chance to catch a lot of live hockey if you want to.
Yeah, there's also restaurants at the arena that we're allowed to eat dinner at. So I'm sure guys will walk over there, get dinner, and then stay for a game or a couple periods or whatnot. So I'm excited about that. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, experience. So I want to take it in as best I can. I want to get over to the rink and see some games in person. You know, I don't think this, hopefully, knock on wood, will ever happen again. So it's one of those things where I kind of want to just enjoy it and just take it all in, because you never know, you know, how short it can be, how long it can be. Hopefully it's a long time we're here in this bubble. But like you said, there's a lot of live hockey we can go watch. So I want to try and take it in and get over there and see as much as I can.
I watched your media availability yesterday with Boone Jenner, and it seems like the consensus is that you guys feel that Boone will be the guy getting watching the most hockey of anyone on the team.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be at the games, but he'll definitely be on TV in his room. I'll put it to you that way.
Hey, how's the food there?
It's good. Yeah, it's been really good so far. Breakfast has been awesome, which is here at the hotel. And then lunch and dinners, I think they have four or five, six restaurants that we can go to. A few of them are walking distance, a few in the hotel. I think on Friday, after we've been here for 5 days or 6 days or whatever it is, they're going to open up some more offsite restaurants that are closed down just for us. The guys can take shuttles too, and you can kind of go and hang out with guys on other teams and do some other stuff at the other hotel. Well, they have like pickleball and tennis courts over there, so we can head over there on Friday and do some stuff like that.
We're joined by Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski. Coming up, we'll focus on tomorrow night's game against the Boston Bruins. But right now is the time to come together as one. Show your support by purchasing the Blue Jackets official postseason shirt. With each order, you will also receive a commemorative poster and playoff pin, with proceeds benefiting the Columbus Blue Jackets Foundation. Get yours today by visiting asonegivesmart.com. You're listening to The Inside Edge, presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins in an exhibition matchup tomorrow night. I've got the call for you here on The Fan, starting with pregame coverage at 6:30. And this guy's going to be playing in that game, Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski. Hey, Zach, let's do a little hockey talk right now as you're getting ready to play that exhibition game against the Boston Bruins. You played a number of scrimmage games at the Ice House before you guys left. You know, the intensity can never be the same playing against your own teammates as it is against another team. How much are you looking forward to just dressing against Boston and getting that work in before it's for real?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all really excited. You know, our scrimmages, you know, back in Columbus, it's hard to replicate a game situation. You're going through training camp, you're playing against your buddies. You know, everyone's a little bit tired, but I think everyone's well rested right now. We're ready to play against a different team. And I was watching the Calgary Edmonton game last night, how physical that was. That felt like a playoff game. So I think we're all excited. And I think after watching some hockey last night, most guys are probably going to watch some more today. I think everyone's just ready. It has that mindset to, you know, to get our feet wet tomorrow versus Boston. And then Sunday come Toronto, guys are going to be ready to go. And, you know, it's been 4.5, 5 months since we've played our game. So it's been a long time coming, and guys are ready for this.
I want to ask you about the power play, because, you know, it's always been a topic of discussion, because, you know, it seems like it goes in streaks. It's either really hot or it's really not. You guys have made some changes on it. You and Seth are actually working on the same power play unit, but the roles on that unit have changed a little bit more. Can you tell me about that, and if there are things you have to get used to, or are you just playing your regular game?
Yeah, I think I'm just playing my regular game right now so far in practice. I think the one thing that I've noticed is there's more and more times that I'll end up on the half wall than I would have if it was someone else other than Seth. like there's times I'll pass to him, he doesn't see anything, so he starts skating to the top and I'll end up kind of interchanging with him. And that's what we do 5-on-5. And I think that's, you know, why it's been working so far in practice. Obviously we haven't played a game yet, but it's definitely something that me and him like. You know, I think we haven't really got a real shot at playing together on the power play. We've done it a little bit, but I think we can, you know, we can do some damage with our power play, me and him, and Bjorki on our right side, Gus in the middle, he's unbelievable in the middle, Gus. So having him there is huge to relieve a lot of pressure, and then Luke up front. So we're excited to put it, you know, in game action and see what we can do. But we like reading off each other, and you know, not much has to change, but you know, I don't have to do too much or anything like that. But it's been good so far in practice, and hopefully tomorrow in a game we can see what we can do.
With all this time that you had, I know you were limited on what you could work on, but did you work on anything, your shot, or and are you surprised at how good you feel out there for the first part of this?
You know, I didn't work on too much. It's kind of hard, especially during training camp with all the skating we're doing. You know, as of late, the last couple of days, I've been trying to get out there with Kenny and work on my shooting. You know, I'm a guy, if I get one chance a game, I want to make sure it counts. So just working on the scoring areas, getting to scoring areas, and when I get there, making sure I score is something the last couple of days I've kind of worked with Kenny on. But, you know, I'm excited to play a game tomorrow and kind of see how I feel out there and get a gauge for it. And, you know, hopefully I feel good and I feel up to speed and get ready for Sunday. And, you know, I think tomorrow's a big game for us just to kind of get our feet wet. And you know, I think we're going to get tested tomorrow versus Boston. I think, you know, like I said, it's been 4.5-5 months since we've played a game. So it's definitely going to be different. And you only get one exhibition game before playoffs. So I know we're going to be hungry tomorrow night, and I'm sure they're going to be ready too.
And that's really what you want to get out of that exhibition game, right? Is just walk away and feel good about your game, yourself and the team.
Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously there's going to be mistakes made. It's been so long since we've played a game. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. Our team's going to make mistakes. But it's just about finding our games, finding the speed of the game, you know, getting your hands working, making plays, you know, getting our team systems down. And you only have one game to do it. So it's making sure we're sharp tomorrow and we're mentally prepared to go into that game and get a lot out of it.
Really sucks for you that this season was interrupted, doesn't it? Because, I mean, you had 20 goals, 21 assists. You were rolling when this thing came to a halt.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, hitting 20 goals was – I was happy with that right before the season ended. Obviously, I would have liked to see what I could have got to. You know, missing 7 games to injury and then 12 left. I would have liked to see what I could have got to with, you know, a full 82 games, but I feel like a lot of guys can say that in the league, you know, guys like Panarin, who was 5 points away from 100. And there's a lot of guys that can say that. So I don't feel too bad for myself, because I feel like, you know, everyone's season was cut short. So, just have more work to do next year, I guess. Got to beat that.
What is the Tortorella factor as you're in the bubble and getting ready for the exhibition game and getting ready for this playoff series? I mean, we all know that he loves the us against the world mentality. He loves coaching that way, and I'm sure he is. But what is he doing different? It wasn't a regular training camp that you just went through, obviously, and it's not the regular start to the postseason. What kind of – do you see any changes in him, or is he just doing the same old thing?
You know, it's hard to tell, right? Because we haven't played a game yet. It's such a different schedule. You know, I think the start of training camp was pretty similar to most of his training camps. Obviously, a little less skating, no run, no physical testing or anything like that. But I think we got in shape pretty quick. And after that, we started working on systems. There's no preseason games in the middle of all that. So you kind of focus on, you know, things from the beginning. He hasn't changed too much. I think he's, you know, trying to work with us with, you know, how tired we are, how good we feel, how hard to push us that day. But I think tomorrow is a big day for everything, just to kind of get our feet wet in a game and see where we're at and kind of get a gauge on it. It's kind of so hard to tell in practice on, you know, how you feel or whatnot. So, yeah, like I said, we're excited for tomorrow. He hasn't changed too much. His practices are the same from the regular season. Which is a good thing, I think, because it gets guys, you know, back up to speed quick and, you know, guys feel really good. Guys look good out there. You can kind of see, you know, starting really yesterday, for the first time, I saw a lot of guys in that hunger and the speed of our team. And, you know, we're in Toronto, playing Toronto in the playoffs. So I think guys are really starting to feel that right now.
I've got one last thing for you, and that is, with no dress code, have you decided how you're going to be styling and profiling when you go to games?
You know, I would like to show how I dress a little bit more. You know, we don't have a dress code, but we kind of made some inner team rules on, you know, things you kind of can't wear, which, you know, I didn't want to go overboard with it. So I'm keeping it pretty casual. But I would have liked to, you know, have shown it a little bit more. The farther we make it, I'm sure the more I'll show. I'll get some close sense here and whatnot.
Yeah. You gotta go head to head with Austin Matthews. He's got he's got a pretty good reputation there in Toronto.
That's tough to beat with style. He's got good style.
Did you bring a suit?
No, I didn't bring a suit.
Okay. I know Henrik Lundqvist probably packed 6 or 7, but yeah. Hey, I have one question for you. Because, you know, Bob McElligott, I was in the East Coast Hockey League, and Bob was a radio guy. And back then, like, now he's got a beard. But back then, he had a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he wore very proudly wore his mustache. And I'm thinking, like, you got the mustache, but everyone's got to wear masks. So it's probably a good time to kind of ease into the mustache role. And are you getting a lot of weird looks with that? Are you impressed with how much respect you're getting with the mustache? Because I know Bob got a lot of respect with the mustache.
I mean, I guess it's kind of a good thing I have to wear a mask around the hotel. I like the mullet and the mustache combo, especially, you know, on the ice. I think it looks nice. I'm sure a lot of people don't like it, but that's fine too.
Oh, it looks awesome. Kenny Powers.
So it's something different. It's something that kind of just came out of quarantine, and I'm rocking with it for the playoffs. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it looks good. Hey, confidence is everything, and you got it, buddy. You look good.
Thanks.
That's Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski. Tomorrow night, he and his teammates will be taking on the Boston Bruins at 7 o'clock. We'll be back to wrap up the Inside Edge presented by Kia here on 97.1 The Fan. Check out all the latest Blue Jackets gear at theblueLineOnline.com. From authentic jerseys, T-shirts, and hats to youth apparel, novelties, and more. The Blue Line Online is always open, so visit theblueLineOnline.com today. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you, ready to wrap up this edition of the Inside Edge. Blue Jackets, Boston Bruins tomorrow night. Only exhibition game the Blue Jackets play before they start their play-in series with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jody, for the Blue Jackets, individually and as a team, what do they have to do tomorrow?
Individually, these players need to just come away from this game and feel great about their game. How they feel, how they move the puck, how they played the system. And as a team, that's it. They're going to have videotape from this game. They're going to be able to break it down. There's going to be mistakes during the games, but these players will see them, and it's like, okay, there's certain routes to run in each zone. And they've gone over it during the camp, phase 3 and phase 4, while they're in the bubble in Toronto. They've got some time to practice it. It's a game plan to play specifically against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They want to make sure that's going to work. So they're going to go through that. And then the big thing individually, too, the goaltending. You know, just feel good. Stop the puck. The reactions that the goaltenders are going to have. So they really just want to sharpen things up, Bob, in this preseason game. You only have one, and then you're in the play-in round, which is do or die. So it's an exciting time. It's so great to see these players back. But they're fired up to play against the Bruins, a team that I think is coming into this tournament with the most to prove out of any team in the league.
You talk about the goaltending, and there's a difference between these two teams in that position. Tuukka Rask is going to be the man for the Boston Bruins. Simple as that. He's their starter, clear cut. They know it. For the Blue Jackets, nobody knows who's going to be the starter yet for this team. So I would imagine both guys are going to get an opportunity and are going to get to compete against one another. Besides just stopping the puck, what do they have to show, though, in this game against Boston?
Yeah, they have to show control of the play. I mean, that's one thing with the Columbus Blue Jackets is that the goaltenders are asked, and I guess with any team, give your guys a chance to win the game. You're not going to win the game yourself, but you've got to make the key save at the key time. I say that all the time. And be there and help calm things down in certain moments. So there's going to be a push from the opposition. There's going to be a bouncing puck that goes the wrong way. Be there to bail it out. You can't compound on mistakes with a goaltender that's swimming or guessing in the net. So to answer your question, I would say a goaltender that looks confident in his mobility and his and how he feels at the time, and not guessing and hoping to make those saves, because you know what, your teammates in front of you, they can see through that. So I think the Blue Jackets will be fine. This is a great opportunity for both these guys to play. Korpisalo, he's going to definitely get some time, and then Merzlikins is going to get in there too. And then from there, they'll make their decision on who gets game one against the Maple Leafs.
Well, the Boston Bruins might not have questions as far as goaltending goes, but they still do have questions because they have some forwards that have missed a great deal of time. David Pastrnak came back from Europe, was out of quarantine, got put back into quarantine, hasn't practiced a lot. He might play, he might not. Jody, when he's not in the lineup, that's a big loss for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the top three, the most dynamic players in the National Hockey League. I mean, this guy can play it any way you want. He can set you up. He can score goals. I mean, he's a guy that leads the league in a lot of offensive categories. We know that. But he's a threat every time he's on the ice. He looks like a great teammate. I know he does a lot of Dunkin' Donut commercials. I don't know if you've seen enough of those yet already or not. But, you know, he brings that element to the Bruins. The Bruins, when you think of the Bruins, you think of Rask and Charles right away and Bergeron. But the up-and-coming – Marchand, excuse me. But the guy that's up-and-coming is this Pastrnak, who's not up-and-coming. I don't know why I say that, but he kind of is, because he's got that – he's a game-breaker. He's a guy that once you've built the organization and you like the way things are going, he's the guy you can add to really break things open. So, yeah, if he's got to be a factor if the Bruins are going to do anything.
Andre Kasha is a player they picked up from the Anaheim Ducks. Nick Ritchie, they got two. Two other guys that haven't been involved in what's going on for the Boston Bruins. Now, with those guys, from everything you read and watch, they don't seem as concerned. But look, you know this. When you make a trade with another team to get a forward, you expect that guy, a forward of that caliber, I should say, you expect that guy to be a part of what you're doing in the postseason. And so far, that's not been the case for them.
Yeah, and they have Kasha slotted in higher in the lineup. So now someone else has to play higher in the lineup, where maybe they would think that that player that's moved up was probably better suited in a third-line role or a fourth-line role. So when you start messing with your depth and reaching with some players, that's what you get. You kind of get a team that is scrambling a little bit. So that's why they went and got Kasha. Great skater. Love the way he plays. He plays a quiet game, but he can really he's hard to play against, he looks like. So yeah, with those guys non-factors, but I still think the Boston Bruins, they've had a culture there for such a long time. I think that would have been a luxury to have those guys in. But we'll see. I mean, we know teams are going to deal with injuries. Things are going to happen quick in this tournament. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with those Bruins.
Oh, that's a great point. Things are probably going to happen more quickly in this tournament than we're even used to seeing in the regular Stanley Cup playoffs because, well, the focus, there's going to be so much more focus on what's going on here than there normally is, just because it's only two microscopes, one in Toronto and one in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, well, and the players' focus is there's no distractions. It's the guys are healthy, there's no distractions, and they're all just at a big hockey tournament. So I think if you were going to set up a tournament and you were a coach or a general manager, this would be a dream. So you know, and right now it is a dream to have these guys back on the ice and getting ready for this. So, yeah, this is a lot of hockey to watch, and we're excited to have this our Blue Jackets back in action and against one of the best teams in the league. I think it's an ideal matchup. If you only had one game to pick, I would have picked to play the Boston Bruins because you know they're going to do it the right way. You know they're going to play hard within their game, and that's good for your team because you want your team's competition level to be high.
That's interesting you say that because I would have asked you, would you have rather seen a team that has a little bit more finesse to it? Because that's what you're going to get on Sunday when you take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Would you rather play that style instead of the rough style of the Boston Bruins? Look, Toronto doesn't play like they do. So you're going to get contrasting styles from Thursday to Sunday.
No, because I'm worried about my team and how they're going to jump into this competition. Sometimes when you play a team that's finesse in a preseason game, guess what you start doing? You start finessing. Oh, yeah, this feels good. You get away from it. I don't think the Bruins are going to play that way. I think they're a forecheck focused team. I think they're a team that has a lot of offense within their grit. They have Marchand can score in such a tight area. So can Pastrnak, tight area. Bergeron is such a competitor. This game with the grind and the mindset that these guys have is a perfect way to go in, because the Blue Jackets have to have that grind and that detailed game. And if you play against a loosey-goosey team, you could fall in that trap, feel good about yourself, but then you'd have John Tortorella have to say, no. We didn't play that good. We didn't do the things the right way, because we can't play that way and expect to have success against the Maple Leafs.
All right, Jody, thank you very much. That game tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Also like to thank Zach Werenski for joining us tonight. That'll do it for this edition of The Inside Edge presented by Kia here on 97.1 The Fan.